the Brandon Sherry Oddcast, sponsored by Metashare. To find out more about the radio show or Brant's book, Unoffendable, go to BrantHanson.com.
Hey there, my name is Brant. Producer Sherry is here too. Sometimes it happens where people will put you down at work or something, maybe a barbed comment. How should you respond? There's some business expert people that have a pretty good idea.
Yeah, because I've seen people do that to you, and you don't pick up on it.
I don't pick up on it until later. And I'm like, you know what? I think they were going at me there.
Four hours later. Yeah, sometimes they've said things to you, and I'm looking at you like, did you hear what they just said?
Nope.
And you're just oblivious, smiling.
I think they like me or something.
I get them straight.
Anyway, so how should Sherry respond in those moments? We'll talk about that too coming up. So if somebody says something that kind of hurts at work, what do you say in reply? And there's these business experts, and they were given advice about what to say. And I'm actually going to use one of these things.
When someone says something that hurts you?
Yeah, because this happens time to time where they'll say something, and I think it's, well, I'm not like cut to the quick or anything. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of like, I think you just slammed me, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, you know what? Unfortunately, I think it's the Asperger's.
Yes.
You don't catch it.
Totally.
Now, I catch everything.
Yes, Sherry occasionally catches it, and she gets defensive for me. She'll be like, whoa.
You're so oblivious. You're walking away, and I'm saying to the person, what did you mean when you said that? Yeah, you don't catch it all the time.
Yeah, I'll walk away, and later on, I go, you know what? I'll be talking to my wife. I think somebody really let me have it. And I'm kind of a barbed. But they said the thing to respond, a way to respond is that what you just said confuses me. And I think I can have that space.
That is a good space.
I don't want to react like, hey, why are you putting me down? If they're not putting me down, I can't process it yet.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But if it's a little subtle put downs or something or.
And unfortunately, in this culture, subtle put downs are becoming more frequent. And when you say that confuses me, what happens is you make the person step out.
Right.
And if you're going to say it, just say it.
Yeah. Whatever it was you were trying to say there, can you make it explicit for me? Because it seems like you think I'm pretty worthless.
Yeah.
But I'm going to try that. That confuses me. Another thing, think about with not letting things go. Like you have to forgive people.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't mean it exempts them to say whatever they want. I mean, you can still have a discussion, but it's not out of anger.
Mm-hmm.
There's a constant level of forgiveness going on.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't, let's think about that. If you don't want to forgive somebody until they apologize, think about what you're doing there. Like, I'm not allowed to forgive till they say they're sorry. And when they do, that's when I'll let go of my anger at that point. Like, think about that. So you're saying, I'm going to allow them to have all the power until they're tired of it.
Oh,
that doesn't make any sense. Like, I'm going to teach them by giving them the power over the timetable about when I decide to finally let something go that's killing me.
Yeah.
It's killing me physically. It's taking a toll on my relationships. Unforgiveness, that's what it does. It sits there. It's like acid in your body. Like, I'm going to let them determine when I let go of this acid. No. You forgive them now. It's important for people to know what life was like before they came along. And so we do a thing called a history segment where we teach the kids
what life was like for us.
Yeah. And you're not going to believe this when I say this, but please hear me out. You're going to be like, that can't be. It's impossible. It used to be that for us to listen to music, we needed a pencil. And I know that sounds totally crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what's he talking about? Is that possible? They made these things. I guess they did it in France. Cassette.
Oh, yes.
A cassette tape.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the tape would get, like, taken out of the little case.
Yeah.
It would get all tangly.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to wind it back into the cassette,
you had to have a pencil.
You had to have a pencil, and you would stick it in, like, a little gear thing.
Yeah.
And you would sit there winding it.
And you had to wind it, but then you also had to make sure the tape went in there straight. Because
right.
If the tape went in there crooked,
it's done.
The cassette's ruined. Yeah.
Or you'd be listening to a song that would flip to the other side.
Or sound warped.
Yeah, I'd be like, what? What was that? But yeah, literally, we had to do that. And sometimes, like, something would happen, and it would get so untangled, it would take you maybe a half an hour
mm-hmm.
of just sitting there with a pencil,
right,
winding it. Otherwise, no music, guys.
Or one time I would wind it and then it tangled and then it snapped.
Oh,
And then now I...
No more music.
The music stops.
The music stops. And that feeling of that favorite thing, which you can't buy again because you don't have money for it. Like, I'll never hear that song again. It's gone forever. And I can't... You can try to tape it back together.
It's over.
We tried. We really lived this way. Oh, man. You remember getting the cassettes out of those when they would... The plastic things that they would sell them in.
Oh, my goodness.
They're
at like Sam Goody.
Like a foot long.
Yeah.
And like, why?
This amount of plastic for this little cassette tape.
And it was impossible.
Yeah.
I would use my teeth. I would use scissors.
We had to pry it open.
Yeah.
With the scissors, you had to get there in the crease and then pry it open to get the tape out.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, you're just getting the case out.
Just getting the case out of the plastic
right.
thing they had it in.
And then you could get the tape out of the case.
And you would sit in the car because you want to hear it now.
Right.
You just bought it now. I want to get home until I can get some pliers. Like, see, like cut yourself to ribbons trying to get to, like, why? I guess it was because, maybe it was the display, like where they have them, they wanted them up high or something, was to elevate them.
That, and I guess like a theft deterrent to make sure people didn't steal it. But I mean, I bought it.
Right.
So could you guys, I never understood why you all can't take it out here and then just hand me the case. Really? And remember, you wanted to read the words with it. Like, you wanted the experience
right.
of the cassette tape.
Right.
And it was just like Fort Knox.
It took forever. Do you remember, they still do clamshell packaging, really heavy plastic packaging
yes.
for stuff.
Yes,
and it's like,
yes,
wow,
yes.
that's, and it's sharp.
Yeah,
like if
yes.
you open it, like it'd cut
if you cut it, it
right.
cuts you. Yeah.
And they sold one, no lie, it was like an infomercial thing.
Okay.
And they sold, I forget what they call it, it was like the Gator
uh-huh.
or something. It had a... teeth on it would cut. And when you would buy that, guess what they sent it in?
In
the clamshell packaging.
Guys, the irony
here. I can't get this out, and I'll explain why. Let me tell you why. Because you guys packaged the thing.
In the thing.
The solution for the problem is inside the problem. And I can't get to the solution without the solution. So thanks, guys. You probably handpick your friends, right? I mean, kind of do that.
Mm-hmm.
Kinda weed people out. They're annoying or whatever. Just kinda, that's enough. Can't do that with certain people, though. Outside of friends, like family.
True.
The general rule. Like, co-workers.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you're in management and you can say, that's enough. You're out of here. It's really difficult. But those things are wonderful. Church, too. And, like, these people you're going to be getting to know, if you're, like, really part of a church community and you really get to know these people, there are going to be people there. You're going to be amazed at their spiritual immaturity or just their pompousness or their whatever. I mean, anything. All the way across the board because they're humans.
Mm-hmm.
It's really good. That's a really good thing to be around people you can't just opt out of because they will shape you and change you. God will use them, frustrating as they are. And now there's really not that many avenues for that to happen. It used to be there all sorts of ways that you couldn't, I mean, you couldn't move.
Mm-hmm. Because it was community.
Yeah, you're stuck in that village.
Mm-hmm.
And now you can up and leave that and leave this. But man, there's something about being stuck with some people. It's really good. That's true. Sherry was just making a good point. You should say that on the air.
Well, you were talking about how it's good to be in community where you can't opt out of people, that you have to deal with frustrating people.
Yeah.
It's also good to realize you are that person for someone else.
But I'm not. And so that's the...
I think we all feel that
way.
Like, we're
right.
the ones coming to this situation. We have to deal with all this spiritual immaturity and
right.
all this arrogance.
How do I put up with these
yeah.
idiosyncrasies, these weird people?
As if it's not us.
Right.
Yeah.
That's the whole thing about traffic. Like, we talk about, you get frustrated in traffic. Like, where are all these people? Like, you're traffic. You are the traffic. You are the annoying people at work, too.
Yeah.
Something I continue to be amazed by. Maybe you think about this all the time, so it's not that big of a revelation, but... how often it isn't that whatever people are doing has to do with me. Like their annoying behaviors, their annoying attitudes, the thing that they say that's rude, does really have to do with me. Very rarely, I think.
I agree.
It has to do with all whatever sorts of other...
It's like spillover from whatever they're going on. There's a sum total of all of their experiences, and it happens to be spilling over on me, but it's not about me.
Right. I mean, they'd be maybe even threatened by me, but mm-hmm. even that doesn't have to do... It'd be somebody else if it wasn't me doing whatever I'm doing or tasked with doing. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of a relief. I mean, just think about it. Like, all these reactions people have, that's like 90% plus, I'm guessing, is... That's them, period. Hey, what's going on? My name is... We're being interrupted here. Breaking animal news.
Oh, here we go.
Crossing
the wires.
Mm-hmm. We print it out on a dot matrix printer. And it prints out the
news. You have a little hat on with it says press on the side of it.
Mm-hmm. Animal psychologists say your dog doesn't want to be hugged.
Okay.
I'm not making this up.
Okay.
Oh, they don't like it. Your dog doesn't like it. Really? How do you know that, animal psychologist?
Well, I'm sure they did some studies. And
Well, they observe some behavior, like characteristics, how they move their eyes or the tail or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, you know what? After all our dogs put us through, to tell me we can't even snuggle them when we want to? I don't want to turn this into a bad attitude newscast.
Well, it sounds like there's some commentary here instead of just news.
I just feel like you guys step up as psychologists. By mm-hmm. the way, where is that?
Mm-hmm.
Where do you get your degree in animal psychiatry?
I'm sure there are people who do that, just like people who are veterinarians.
Yeah, and so my dogs, they do a lot of stuff they need to atone for, and mm-hmm. the least they can do is allow me to snuggle with them.
Okay, so we don't have to impugn this study. You're just saying, I'm going to hug my dogs whenever I feel like it, and they're going to like it.
I'm going to hug my dogs whenever I feel like it, and they're going to like it.
This has been your Breaking Animal News.
That's right, and commentary. Don't ask why, but I was reading this article about creepiness and what makes a person creepy.
Okay.
I'm not going to elaborate on that.
Oh, please, give us some.
Well, I just thought that was interesting. And what it said was that people have a hard time articulating what makes somebody creepy, but ultimately it comes down to threat.
Okay.
If I can't rule you out as a threat, like there's a little bit of a threat there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure even why.
Okay.
But it comes down to threat. And I was thinking that with regard to being a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Like some people regard Christians as a little bit creepy, and then there are a lot of Christians going, why?
That's true.
Why? But there must be some level of threat that's going on.
Hmm.
Probably been an experience with somebody who's tried to control them
mm-hmm.
or guilt them
mm-hmm.
or something. So they regard any expression of it at all as a little creepy, even if they can't pinpoint why.
Right.
So, well, let's say, like, remember that. Like, if you're a believer, I have to be aware of that, too, because even though, like, on our show, we have no interest in controlling anybody. None. And we admire so many things about Jesus, and one of them is he just leaves it to you. He leaves it to people to walk away. If they want to walk away, they can. There's no control going on. But I also know people that are new, that are listening in, suspect, wait a second, what's the agenda? They're going to try to make me a better person or make me agree with their politics or make me, you know, have to become a Christian. We're not. We're not. There's no control going on. And hopefully it'll make it a little less creepy for you if you just turned it off.
We can make the jump from creepy to friends.
Right, exactly.
That's nice.
You hear that about some people. They're mm-hmm. like, yeah, they're Christians. They're like religious people or something, but I like them. They're not creepy.
Mm-hmm.
It's because they can tell you're on their side and you're not trying to control them. His name is Alex, and he posted on our Facebook page. He's got a problem. Maybe you can relate to this. I know I can. He said, I have a problem showing up at the right time and the right place like you do, because I can't remember. I find it easier to remember where I need to be by simply reminding myself constantly because I have ADHD and my brain goes 50 different directions all the time. That's Alex. Mm-hmm. Alex, I'm the same way, even though I don't have ADHD.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what's going on, but I invented... Because I have meetings and responsibilities, and I can't keep track of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I invented an idea here, the smart chair, which would be connected to motorized wheels.
Yes.
And it would automatically know what's on your calendar. So if you're in one meeting and it's like, oh, it's 2:00, it knows, and it just starts whisking you out of the room and whisks you into another room, and now I'm in the right meeting.
But
I think it'd be great.
You don't know where you're going.
I don't.
Right. And I've seen you come to meetings without the chair. late.
Right.
And disheveled with your hair all over your head, papers everywhere,
yeah.
clothes crumpled. So now you're going to do all of that in a chair.
In a chair.
Okay.
But it'll get me there on time. And at that point, it'll be like, he doesn't know when he's here,
right.
but he's here. At least okay. he's here. And that's it'll be like, where am I? That'll be the first question on the
topic. Why am I here?
Who are you guys?
Right?
Why am I here? but the chair knows.
Okay.
And that's the important thing.
All right. At least someone does.
Yep. Been talking about this a lot because of Valentine's Day this week and stuff, and we did a special podcast about single people and married people.
And a Facebook Live.
Yeah, we've done a lot. Too much. Too much.
We're doing too much.
It's time we should shut our mouths. Take it easy. But I thought this was really interesting.
Uh-huh.
Like back when a lot of church culture got formed in the U.S., mm-hmm. like 1960, for instance, 72% of Americans, adults, were married.
Okay.
It's almost three quarters.
Mm-hmm.
Now, think about it now. I just saw a stat. It's half and half now.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're an adult in America, 50-50. So it's getting increasingly weird if churches or Christians or Christian culture mm-hmm. relates to adults like, yeah, you're probably married. Like, talk to your spouse about what it.
That's a good point.
Half of us aren't.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, on this show,
yeah,
bam.
50% of this show
exactly.
is not married. That's
exactly.
right.
Not 50.4%, 50% is single, 50% is married,
yeah,
and that represents America. And so if you're single, by the way, and you're an adult, hey, you're not an oddball at all. Chances are, I think this happens to people, let's say you're just driving around and you think of, oh, that's a business idea, I ought to follow up on it, and you forget about it.
Mm-hmm.
Or, and then you realize, oh, somebody else just did it, you know.
They're millionaires.
Yeah, happens
yeah.
all the time. So we're missing out on something here. There's a podcast that's deliberately supposed to put people to sleep, and it's extremely popular, and the guy's making big bank off of it.
Seriously?
It's just deliberately boring.
Okay. So and what are you saying here? Where is this going?
We've had people tell us,
mm-hmm.
even though they won't say it's boring.
Right.
Like our podcast is doing great.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of people like, oh, I listen to it, and they fall asleep to it every night.
We get a lot of those comments, yes.
Apparently.
There's money to be made.
That's bankable. I don't know. The guy deliberately, I can't remember what it's called, but it's like the Go to Sleep podcast.
Okay.
And he just gets on there and drones on and on. You tell me I couldn't do that? That is so up my alley. And yeah, real popular.
Man.
Need to get in on this action. Okay, think of somebody you don't like, all right? This is a little thought experiment. Think of somebody you don't like, not me, somebody else, okay? Think of somebody you don't like. All right, and how do you love that person? I mean, if you really don't like them, so you're thinking of somebody, I hope you're listening to the radio and you're thinking of somebody, how do you actually love somebody you just almost can't stand? Maybe it's a coworker, family member, somebody who's hurt you, famous person. Well, I've heard from smart people, wise people, I should say, that you love someone by wanting the best for them. So maybe make that happen. If it's somebody in your life, maybe you just pray for them and you pray that they would be blessed by certain things. Like, you will the best for that person. So you may not like, you may be a parent. You don't like your kid right now, but you love your kid because you want ultimately what's best for them. Same thing with everybody else. Talking about how tough it is to love people who we don't like. I mean, everybody can relate to this. Sherry said something I thought was great.
Yeah, it's how to demonstrate love. I think for me, speaking well of someone who's getting on my nerves, someone who I can't quite get on the same page with, if I can speak well of them, it does change my heart. It really does.
Me too. There's something about any sort of action, and that's, I think that's one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Any sort of action changes your feelings.
Yeah.
And if you serve somebody in some way, and that's why I think like even prayer, even if it's not said out loud,
mm-hmm.
where you're actually genuinely asking God, please bless this person, help him to find what he's looking for, or whatever.
Because I'm allowing my words and my actions to be opposite of my feelings. Like if I start giving words to my feelings, it's just going to stir that anger up. Yes.
That's why we've talked about how venting doesn't work.
Right.
Because it reinforces you.
Mm-hmm.
It's a pep rally for your own ego, we call it. But the inverse is right. It gets the ball rolling the other direction.
Speak well of them.
Absolutely. We got a great question, and maybe you can relate to this. It was, how do you, they're asking Sherry and me, how do you avoid having thin skin when it comes to working as a team? And if you work in a team environment, this may be relatable. I don't have a great answer for that. I have a tremendous respect for Sherry.
Thank you.
So, I don't know, like, if there's, I don't know. I'm trying to think when I've been like, hey, I can't believe she did that. I've had it.
This is it. No, I think if you respect people and you know their heart.
Yeah.
Then that's the thing. Like,
right.
I know your heart. So
right.
Everything else is good. I think I told you that the first day that we worked together, because I remember it was the first day on the job you said to me, I hope you're not put off by my way of being. That's one interesting thing to say to someone the first day on the job. And I said to you, I don't care about disheveledness. I don't care about any of those other things that may annoy other people. As long as you treat me with respect.
Yeah, okay.
Everything else is fine. You know what I mean? Everything else is just stuff that comes along with friendship, stuff that comes along with coworkers, and relationship. What do you want? You want someone that's just like you?
No.
Yeah, you want someone who's different, quirky. Those things may rub you the wrong way sometimes, maybe not, but I think ultimately if you're secure in yourself, that helps thicken up your skin.
I think you view me this way. I think I view you this way, although I think it's easier for me to you. But you take the bad with the good. Like, there's a whole package.
Yeah.
And I like the whole package.
I do too.
Like, with my friends, Sherry, other coworkers. Like, yeah. And maybe you can look at your own coworkers or other people and go, yeah, they're this, but they're also that.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, that said, I don't have a list on the con side. It's just like, this is who this person is, like you're saying, idiosyncrasies and all.
Mm-hmm.
And it's good. I like all of it.
This has been the Brant and Sherry Oddcast, sponsored by MediShare. To find out more about the radio show or Brant's book, Unoffendable, go to BrantHanson.com.